back. Live.
Live?
Recorded. Ah, from 7XL headquarters, this is Kirby Han. And from 7XL North, we got...
Gotti Jr.
What's going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
Just taking care of the sunburn I got from over the weekend. Actually, from Sunday only.
I got wind burn.
I got dirt burn.
I was there Saturday and it was freaking freezing.
Cold climates and very windy. Good thing there was no short course. Some things would have looked like kites.
I should have went Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday was good, but we got... Oh, of course, everybody, we're talking about the up at LCRC, Lost Creek Cycles in Oakland Mills, PA. They had the Roar 8-scale Fuel Nationals warm-up race, and we were up there checking it out. So
yeah, it was
track was
a good
track
time.
Was killer. The weather Friday and Saturday kind of stank, but Sunday made up for it. It was beautiful.
Man, I want to race truggies. I like them. They're my favorite. It's actually the first time I've ever attended an 8-scale event.
Yeah.
And I was pretty excited over the truggies, man. They look cool.
Yeah, they're monstrous out there.
So I ordered two, one for parts and the other.
Good call. Gotta,
yeah, they're pretty
gotta
cheap,
have a backup.
So I figured I'll just,
yeah. Drop in the bucket. That's 1 week allowance, no problem. Yeah, we had a good time up there, the whole crew.
Kirby was creeping. You would see him in the middle of the track, you know, dodging cars, trying to get video.
Yeah, I was out there. If I would have been wearing black, I probably would have looked just like a ninja. But I wore like a, let's see, was it Friday? Yeah, Friday I got home from work and painted up because I do my, I do like custom painted T-shirts. I think I painted up 7 T-shirts for the weekend, which Gotti only used one. I used all 3 and Mace used one. But anyways, I painted up like bright colored shirts. I figured that way the driver should be able to easily pick me out of their peripherals and be able, you know, do a little show off, like, you know, a little whiskey throttle, gas it or whatever. But to give you the little the lowdown on what I did, I was filming. Pretty much filmed all day Saturday, all day Sunday, late on Friday. But I had a GoPro on a extendable little monopod. It extends out to about 2.5 feet, and
looks like a golf club.
It does look like a golf club. So I had the GoPro Hero 2 HD on there, and recorded racing all weekend. So it's, I'm going to claim that it is, you know, it's my idea. I came up with it. So, don't copy it. it's breaking technology. I'll just put it that way. I finally edited the video. I'm very new at video editing, so it took me a good 2+ days to get it done. So tomorrow after work, I'm gonna host it, and just stay tuned to the Facebook page. I'll have it up there, and your minds will be blown.
I can't imagine editing video.
Yeah, you thought
I thought audio was hard.
You thought the podcast was bad. Oh my God, Mace, my buddy, Radio Impound Podcast Media Director Mike Mace helped me out quite a bit because he's like a wizard with this stuff. That one video you saw up on our page was actually shot by Mace and edited by Mace. It's pretty trick with his. He got a
with a Nokia phone.
Yeah, with a flip phone. I'm not sure what brand it was, but it's a point and shoot that had slow mo capabilities, and he just like. Put me to shame. He slapped this thing up and like, you know, it probably took him like a couple hours. Done, up on the net. It's Friday and I'll have my video up there, but I think y'all will be impressed, so let me know what you think. It's groundbreaking. There's no way to describe it. The perspective with the GoPro camera out there is just amazing. It's as good as you're gonna get without having a camera on board. Actually, I think it's better because the camera on board only gives you one shot. I was all over the track, straightaways, in infield. You know, I was even marshaling sometimes when when wrecks were by me. I'd, you know, hold out the GoPro real far and just fix the wreck or whatnot. Ate dirt all weekend. I think that's I mistake my tan for, you know, I thought it was a suntan. I think it's probably just more dirt than anything.
Yeah, you haven't showered yet.
No, I didn't get a chance to it. I was busy editing. For sakes.
Oh man. But,
so enough about that. You'll.
So where are you gonna find that at? When you're gonna post it on the page?
I'm gonna post it on our. I'm gonna plaster it everywhere. It's gonna be our Twitter, our Facebook. I'm gonna put it up on the RC Tech forum with the LCRC thread. It's gonna be there. It's gonna be hosted on Vimeo. So. Yeah, not YouTube. They're, you know, they got restrictions on audio, and I want to put sweet music to it. So it's gonna be sick. It's about 10 minutes long, but at the end of those 10 minutes, you'll be begging for more.
To change my pants.
Change your pants and wait for more. So I'm gonna try to put out, like, I originally thought like six videos, and I think I'm still gonna try to do that, but we'll see. That might change after I rip my hair out.
I noticed you had a lot of people come up to you at the race.
Yeah, I had,
asking you.
Yeah, how,
you know?
About, yeah, they're, you know, where are we going to be able to see it? Is it, you know, is it going to be for public or is it just for you? But I'm doing this to get it out there, get our name out there, and I don't know. I expect.
Well, actually, you're lying to everybody. You were taking video to. You're going to come back at the Roar Nats. Kirby got some dirt samples and he took a lot of video, and he's going to replicate the track at home in his backyard, and look out in June.
I can't believe you're letting that
go ahead. I'm sorry.
There goes my seat.
I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
We're good. But, yeah, I wanted to shoot this video. I had a vision, and, I don't know, maybe I'm fooling myself, which I am sometimes, but I think you're going to be, you'll be pleased with with this video. It's very cool, and I didn't see anything like this in RC or, you know, any other kind of racing. It's a little bit easier with RC because even if you get hit, it's not going to hurt too bad. And I almost did get hit a few times. I got agility like a cat, and you know, I'm just like, oh, boom, out of the way.
I don't know. I don't want to get hit by one of those trophies. I'll tell you that.
Those things are motoring. Plus, you know, they probably weigh like 7-8 pounds or so. That'd hurt.
I was standing there by the driver's stand, and this car, it was a truckie coming down the straightaway, and he decided to go off the track and slam right into that.
The pit lane.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it was there, though, like a concrete.
Like a manhole. Yeah, yep. I know what you're talking about.
And he slammed straight into that full speed, and guy just picked him up, put him on the track, and he took off. And I was wow.
You know what?
Those things don't break.
You're right, man. Because all the practice on Friday and like, you know, all the racing over the weekend, I didn't see any like breaks, like, you know, like a chassis part, like an A-arm or something like that snap. And as many wrecks as I saw, I couldn't believe these cars hold up like they do. But God, I sound like a geezer.
Yeah, we're from the old days.
But
chassis, yeah. Snap in half, you know, crap like that.
I'm pumped for the Nationals. I cannot wait, because they had about, yeah. I think Kevin said about like 145 ish entries, and at the end of this month, end of May, they got the they call it the big one. It's going to be for Labor Day, and that's expecting to be huge. Big names coming in for that too. So I'll be up there, and I'll be a crud by the end of the weekend, just getting all kinds of video.
Should be cool.
I'm pumped. So what have you been up to, Gotti? Enough of ranting and raving. Watching any basketball? I've been watching a lot of hockey playoffs.
Ugh, hockey.
Dude, this has been amazing. Overtimes, nail biters, tons of overtimes, game sevens. Ugh, it's awesome. Capitals put out the Bruins. Devils stayed alive. Game three's the night. Hopefully the Devils take an advantage on the Flyers, because we need them out of there. Can't have a silly team in there. I'm sorry.
No.
So go Devils.
But Ernie says, Ernie tells me we should root for all the PA teams since we live here. But
yeah, well,
I don't know. I'm not really.
No,
I don't care.
No, that's.
I'm a Laker fan.
I don't
fan.
Have any PA teams that I like.
Maybe we just don't like PA. Secret. I don't know.
I like PA. I think the fans of the PA teams just drive me insane. So they just drive me to hate the teams. So it's their fault.
Yeah, I blame them.
You guys. Beachley, you're a Flyers fan. Devils are going to own it. Boy, take yes. that. So you've been watching Lakers? How the Lakers doing?
Oh, they're up 2-0 on Denver. Going to Denver tonight.
Yeah. All right.
Not really exciting. We're expected to beat Denver. Yeah. But
even without the captain elbow.
Yes. Actually, I got on the Dan Patrick show yesterday. Or 2 days
you were,
ago.
You were on?
Yeah, well, I called.
Really?
They were talking Lakers. It's the second time I've been on there. I like Dan Patrick.
Yeah, he's good. I never listened to it, though, but that's cool that you got on air.
So, yeah, I was just making a point that since you brought up our test.
Meta World Peace.
Should the, you know, it sounds crazy, but should the Lakers actually, since he has a 7-game suspension.
Oh, yep. I know where you're going.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Do we really want to sweep Denver? Because then we go into the Oklahoma series and we don't have our test for 2 games. I think we should sit back.
Yeah, just like miss all kind of shots.
Yeah. Yeah, tonight, just kind of sit back, lose this game.
Put all the bench in. Let them, you know, hack it out.
Yeah, I say throw at least 1 game in Denver. You have to lose 2 games. That way, when you go into Oklahoma, you have our test back.
I was going to say that. Drop two, make sure, you know, you can wrap it up.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
It's classic. Who was that? Jim Mora, I think, from the Saints. Or no, that might have been Indy at that point.
That was Indy, but.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so I was on the Dan Patrick show talking about that.
Yeah.
And he basically said you can't risk doing that, but.
But they're.
I think the Lakers could afford
against
the
Nugget. Yeah, that's like playing Berwick Bulldogs.
Well, Berwick Bulldogs now, yeah. Enough of that. We're tuning out. I think we tuned out everybody last week with the an hour-long Lakers talk. Ernie's probably throwing up right about now.
Well, got a little bit of news, so I guess we're going to kick it over to the Radio Impound Podcast News Desk. Yeah, you're...
Man, I'm on top of it today.
You're on it.
I am on my game. My C game.
Bring your C game down.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what I got. Race results. Race we were at.
Race results from LCRC.
LCRC Roar Fuel National Warm-Up Race.
Just tell me where my boy Jason Schreffler finished.
All right. We'll get to that. Yep. Schreff did good. Schreff did good.
All right.
So even though it was a gas nationals, they did have an e-buggy class. So they had 8-scale gas buggy. Win and TQ went to Billy Easton. Billy flew in from out west, TQ'd it. And I'll tell you what, the beginning, I'd say 5 to 10 minutes, was a really good battle with East Coaster Gunner Rick. And they were swapping the lead back and forth. And I do have some of that on video. So I'm going to edit that. Expect that by September.
Wow. Jesus.
Eric Pettit got second. And Jay Cristiano got the third step on the podium in buggy class. Truggy, TQ and win went to Taylor Peterson just a week out of the Silver State race where he also podiumed. So congrats to back-to-back good weekends. Radio Impound Podcast's own Jason Schreffler finished second in Truggy. He had a killer run too. I didn't write down laps and splits, but I'm pretty sure he finished on the same lap as Taylor because he didn't get into much trouble at all that race. And third in Truggy was Anthony Mazzara. Got e-buggy class Barry Pettit taking the win. Pettit had a strong weekend. Pettit took the win. Anthony Mazzara finished second, also TQ that class. And Joe Bornhurst, third place, e-buggy. So there's the warm-ups. About three weeks into May. I'm excited for this race, too. I'm pumped. I'm into the gas. Not that I'd race gas, because, I don't know,
I don't know, man. It seemed pretty exciting.
I understand the appeal. Very moto-ish. The sights, the sounds, the smells. It is exciting to watch. But, man, I don't know. They just – maybe I'm still from the old school. It just seemed like they're finicky and whatnot. I'm sure, you know, 12 years they figured it out by now. But, maybe one day. Mm. But
that one day being June. June 20-something.
I'm gonna bring back like a RC-10T gas truck and turn it into a 8-scale buggy.
Yes.
I'm going to run two-wheel, not even four-wheel. and make the double F main. The other racers all ahead, not even a result, but short course showdown round two. I believe it was two Ahmad short course class. The video is up there. Associated put the video up. It was a really sweet battle between Associated drivers Brian Kinwald, of course, and Tanner Denny, young Associated driver. They battled for the entire race. It was a really good one to watch. And actually, I believe Tanner Denny came out on top. Kinwald was second. But it was one of those, it was exciting, entertaining races. Lead swaps, you know, a little bashing because the short course, you can bash a little bit. Kinwald kind of flipped the one guy over, waited up for him, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Sportsman out of BK, so.
I would have took off.
No doubt. Capitalize on that. But check it out if you haven't seen it. That was a sweet video. Good one to watch. One of the better races I've ever seen. Except for me and Delgado, but
back in Chicago, yeah. Off road.
The set.
You don't remember that when I was schooling, yeah.
The old church or school, just sand. Yep. It's like a sandbox. Got anything to contribute there, news wise, bud?
Nope.
All right. I'd like to. Yeah. Short news this week, guys.
Well, I want to get you going so you can start editing your your video, and I can
be up for hours.
Yeah, you'd be up for hours yelling for help.
Sharon!
To not be curfew like, later on
Mace!
Tonight.
Mace, pick up the phone. I need help.
Sharon!
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, give a shout out to the LCRC crew. They were very cool allowing us to, you know, pretty much come into LCRC and roam the track freely, take videos. So the hospitality was awesome. So just got a shout out to Kevin, Chris, the whole crew there. Thank you very much, fellas. And Jason,
lot,
the race director, kept the whole race smooth. So looking forward to coming back up there, man, for sure.
Yeah, they were great. Though I don't understand why at the end they said don't come back.
I don't know what that meant. You? And they even put up media director Mace made a banner for us, so we got the Radio Impound podcast banner up in the, you know, up in the backstretch there. So,
dude, that banner was awesome.
Dope. Mace is on point, as usual.
Yeah. Awesome.
Looked cool up there, man. I even had one driver tell me that before that banner went up, there was a gap there, and like the cars would go up. And they would kind of lose them in there.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, and they put the banner up, and it's like, man, I can see a lot better now. We helped these guys out.
Dude, we're awesome.
Yeah, man, we're more awesome than we thought.
No, sick.
I'm a joke maker.
Oh, man. So what do we got going on today? Anything exciting? Did we line anybody up for today?
You know, I don't know if you guys heard of Ryan Cavalieri, current IFMAR Off-Road World Champion, 204 wheel. Mm. Big get for the show today. So we'll have Cav coming up here shortly. So if you want to just grab a drink, take a bathroom break, and hit pause. And,
I'm going to go take a shower real quick.
You can't do that in real time because he's going to be on really soon.
Well, he didn't text me yet, so I might have time for 10 minutes.
All right. Well, go ahead. Do what you got to do.
All right, cool.
Yep. So go take a shower. We'll be back shortly with Ryan Cavalieri on the Radio Impound Podcast Show. Nobody get hurt. Today's guest on the Radio Impound Podcast Show is current 204 wheel drive off-road world champion, four-time world champion, and multi-time national champion, Ryan Cavalieri. Ryan, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
After a little scrambling, we finally got this figured out. Just off a big weekend, well, 2 weeks ago at the Silver State Race, you got a won the 8-scale gas and second in Truggy. Are you pretty much racing a lot of gas currently to get to prepare for the nationals?
Honestly, it's pretty much 50-50, you know, with the races going on with electric and gas. But, you know, right now we're maybe looking a little bit more into the nitro stuff. So just trying to get worlds ready and stay on top of our game, really.
How often do you race during a week, say, like just a standard week, Ryan?
I try to get out at least once a week. And, I mean, either if it's going and testing or going to just practice. But most likely I like to try to club race at my local track, West Coast Raceway, on Wednesdays. But, you know, sometimes I like to just really take a week off if I'm, you know, at a big event. I'll usually take a week off and then get back into it the week later. Just kind of regroup, get everything dialed in.
Are you hitting up the May race at the track that the Nationals are held at? Or are you going to pretty much just do all your testing out west?
I'm going to be, we bought our plane tickets for the Manufacturers Cup. So that's going to be our warm-up for the Nationals.
Okay.
So, that'll be a good little warm-up, I guess. A lot of the guys are going to be there attending it, so should be another good quality event.
Right on. Cool. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
We're excited to – we were out the track over the weekend for that warm-up race, and, we haven't been around the you know, racing for a little bit, so that was kind of our first really, like, you know, legit gas race. We're amped for the Nationals, so that can't come soon enough. But
yeah, well, you'll be as Kirby likes to say, you'll be sick of us by the end of the weekend, Ryan. Yeah. We'll be hanging around the pits.
No worries.
All right, let's. Okay, we'll do a little background. When did you start RC racing, Ryan?
I started around I would say 98.
All right.
When I fully got into it, I was maybe a little bit off and on around 97, but fully committed since really 98. So
right around when you ended, Kirby.
Yeah, pretty much. That was kind of the end of my working at Trinity and racing, and kind of just got burnt out and kind of threw in the towel at that point. But
seven national titles in oval was enough.
Yeah. So, what was your first RC car?
I got into it with an RC10 T2. And then slowly after that, I ended up with a Losi XX and pretty much was with Losi for a lot of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And then jumped over to Associated in 05 and been with them ever since.
I mean, it seems like it's working out pretty well for y'all.
Yeah, been pretty happy with all the moves I've done over the years. So,
yeah.
When was the first time that, like you said, you started in 98? When did you actually get a sponsorship?
It was the Reedy race in 99. And then that would have been in the beginning of, beginning of the year. Usually that race is in January. So
they took notice of you and somebody approached you?
That was pretty much the person that would that I would say helped me the most was probably Todd Hodge. And he was the one that recognized me back in the day. And pretty much after that race, they put me on a board. He pretty much gave me like a 50% deal where I was able to buy some parts and stuff before that race to hop up my stuff. And then after that event, they ended up sponsoring me. I think I finished like third in a two-wheel drive buggy. So a decent showing, and then got on board.
Yeah. Pretty smart to scoop you up, man. Good eye there, Haji.
Good on their part.
Right on. So, your father, does your father go to pretty much all the races with you? Travel all the races?
Pretty much every race that's top notch, you know, national,
right,
and anything really underneath that. There's only a few races I go to a year that are by myself. So he tags along pretty much majority of the time associated, and I have worked out in my contracts that he's pretty much anywhere I go. So
yeah,
you almost need a person to have at the gas races. So it's good to have
real.
Someone you know.
Yeah, and when you're racing, you know, at the other not national events, but well, I guess national events, you're probably racing multiple classes. So yeah, it doesn't hurt to have somebody there, you know.
No, it's
prepping like three cars.
He pretty much preps every single bit of my 8 scale, and I pretty much do all my 10 scale stuff, so it keeps it a little bit more mellow on both of us now, where
yeah.
He was before had to do, you know, a lot of the work. I really never did a whole lot of wrenching. I was kind of did it like what Masami. I mounted tires, mounted the bodies, and drove. So
yeah, I know that feeling. I used back when I raced actually traveled with my father and my brother. My brother was he was the wrench. Ryan was the wrench, and you know, Dad was there for, you know, working the stopwatch.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's very cool to be able to do something like this with, you know, travel with your father. That's awesome.
Yeah, it works out majority of the time. You know, you always have your ups and downs, but
mm-hmm.
It's the best for most of the time.
Where did your dad pick up RC? Did he have a background in RC?
Yeah, he did. There was a track right around where we live, RCH in Costa Mesa. And then he quit for a long time and pretty much heard about a track. And he pretty much took us down. It was the SoCal in Garden Grove, and got pretty much back in there. And then they ended up moving a little bit after we started to SoCal and Brookers. So it was a lot closer for us. It was right down the street almost.
How far is your, you know, like your, well, you say local track, your closest track that you
It's about 25 minutes. Just under 25 minutes. It's not too bad.
Would you ever think of anything late at night? Like, hey, I want to try this. Did they let you in? Do you have a key to the place?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good friends with the owner over there and stuff. And I mean, there's nothing too serious that I do anymore. You know, everything is, you know, we usually get into the track a little bit earlier, if anything. But they're open pretty late nowadays. It's like the tracks seem like they stay open a lot longer. You know, the guys are more of an old school guy, you know, always hung out at the track after they closed. So the track's open a little bit later than normal. So to go run late at night, I feel like it almost hinders me a little bit. So I like to get up there in the morning and do my stuff.
Too much of the track, kind of dial yourself out at some points.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I get tired and just don't feel like I even drive the same. So
yeah,
I'm better with a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I hear that with I kind of hear the same thing about like when moto teams go testing, you know, they're out there testing forever. And, you know, as the day drags on, the change might be better. But, you know, at that point, the rider's probably pretty tired, so can't really have good results.
Yeah, it's almost like you pack it up and whatever you thought was good, you start with that next morning, kind of go from there.
What's your favorite class to race?
Right now, I really love running the two-wheel drive buggy.
Yeah.
But on the competitive wise, the eight-scale buggy is for sure, I think, the most exciting and for everybody. So it's those, the two buggy classes are really important.
Yeah.
You know, the most difficult thing to drive, for for sure. Right,
the premier classes. Now, maybe if you could have a 10 scale buggy race, 45 minutes, it might be a different story. But I think that definitely adds to it.
Yeah, like the buggy, I just like buggy. Just more difficult to drive, and it's always the most prestige class. So I'd say both of those.
Oh, I had a question here for you. Did you always drive lefty? You ever try driving,
Yeah, I started, before I ever picked up a controller, I started driving right-handed, and then my dad always drove left-handed.
Oh.
And I kind of was going back and forth to see what I preferred. I would go up and drive right-handed, and then I would pretty much take the controller and drive my dad's car left-handed, and ended up driving left-handed. I preferred the way it felt in my hand, and pretty much stuck with it. I never really went back after we said, I'm left-handed. Airtronics has always kind of had a radio out there that you can switch around, so it always made it easy.
You might be the only RCer that I know of that could, in Major League Baseball terms, bat or drive opposite hand or switch hit pretty decent.
Yeah, but I'm by any means not very good at driving right-handed, but I could get around the track. I'd be a good novice driver.
That'd be a good challenge.
You get bored, just mix it up.
You drive lefty, and I'll drive righty, and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I think
it's not very pretty.
Yeah, you still destroy me though.
I think I'd like to adopt the term, and along the snowboarding and skateboarding, I like to call that goofy. You drive like goofy handed.
Pretty much,
that's gonna catch on. I think, yeah,
sure.
But now I see you have you put out some products with the RCE tag. You wanna dive into that a little bit? Explain the background there.
Yeah, I pretty much started the RCE stuff, and it was more of a thing that I wanted to try to develop some stuff that I really wanted to have in my pit. I always spent money on the pit towels and stuff like that. And back in the day, you'd do the carpet, and came along, me and my buddy came along. We were in Tucson, Arizona, and we were in a Target, and we saw yoga mats, and they were like $10. So we're like, all right, these look pretty much like the right size. So we picked them up and we started using them. And a lot of people liked the idea. And then I pretty much came home and researched it as much as I could, and I came along and found some good deals, and I was able to start my own kind of like a pit table accessory. And so that was the first thing I did on my RCE line, and that's been selling pretty good. I sell those to the local tracks and a few of the hobby stores, and getting into an online store pretty soon, so making a little bit of progress
going into business.
Yeah, doing something, to give back a little bit. People seem to like it, so it's cool. It makes it easy for me. If people like it, it makes it so I can get myself some free products without have to pay for them. So that's kind of the idea. And I pretty much have the pit mats right now, and then I'm selling some pit rags, and do the shirts, beanies, and some zip ups for the time being.
Cool.
So
kind of reminds me of JSE, and James Stewart Entertainment. Well, it's pretty cool. Have your own little signature line.
Yeah, a lot of the people, it's just kind of see to get your name out a little bit more. So
for sure,
it helps. People want what I have, so it's freaking, it's easy to give to them. Exactly the same thing.
And plus, preparing for life after driving, maybe.
Yeah. Not a bad start.
What would you say was your most memorable or favorite or biggest win?
Honestly, it's going to be from the 2011 Worlds. I would say that more because I actually had to drive. I had to drive pretty much to perfection. I couldn't really make a mistake, with Mayfield behind me and stuff. Where my other Worlds that I won, I never felt like I was ever that fast. I just kind of had things fall into place. So even my four-wheel world in Finland, it kind of like I was a third on the grid, and stuff kind of fell into place, where the two-wheel buggy, I kind of kind of had to drive around and hold off, you know, where before I was kind of coming from the back. So I'd say two of the last year.
Yeah, I watched that video. It's man, what a race. Just
awesome. Yeah, it was pretty brutal. The last leg with me and Mayfield battling, it was pretty, I mean, it was not as nerve-wracking. I almost get more nervous watching it now than, you know, when it's actually happening.
Yeah. It's kind of just second nature.
Like, hold them off.
Yeah, do you watch it now and you're like, hold them off?
Yeah, I mean, I still,
even though you know what happens?
It's like I get more nervous watching it now. It's like, I don't, it's crazy. It's a weird feeling.
You mentioned the Manufacturer's Cup. What other, you know, you get Manufacturer's Cup, the 8th scale, Fuel Nationals. What else is on Ryan Cavalieri's calendar for 2012?
Honestly, those are the two biggest ones right now. And then we're going to have, after those, the Olympic Nationals are going to be at West Coast, which is my home track. And that's that Super Nationals they're going to have. So that'll be the next thing on my agenda. I'm going to be actually missing the Hot Rod Shootout this year due to the date they actually changed them. I have a wedding to attend in Cancun, so I'm going to be missing that.
It's all right. Weddings are a blast.
Yeah. Can't mess up an opportunity to go to Cancun, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, say no more, Cancun.
Yeah, it was a bummer. We looked on the dates and stuff about a few months ago when we were looking into it, and supposedly they just kind of changed the dates and reposted it, so. Oh, well. Oh. I haven't really missed a race like that, so it'd be a weird feeling being somewhere on vacation when other people are racing.
So this is your wedding?
No, not my wedding.
Oh, okay.
One of my good friends.
Okay. I was gonna say I commented wrong there, but okay, just wanted to clear that up. Let's see, a little bit of non RC related stuff. Just checking out your Facebook, and you know, I'm sure a zillion people do. Lakers fan, and Gotti's a gigantic Lakers fan as well.
Yeah. Lakers are doing well.
And man, if you want to hear some Lakers chat, Jimmy Babcock and Gotti on our last podcast from last Thursday. Oh yeah. They went on for like 15 minutes about the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty big fan. I always loved watching Kobe, and I mean, they're always that team during the season. People are always down, but they get in the playoffs and they turn it around. So it's fun watching it.
Yeah, for sure. Playoff time's a different kind of like.
I mean,
I like
watching
season.
All the teams honestly in the playoffs. I'm kind of a playoff guy. I could watch a few games during the season, but I mean, nothing's like watching the when they're actually do or die. So
snowboarding. How often you snowboard?
Honestly, probably once a year.
Really? No kidding.
Our mountains aren't that great, so I was going maybe twice a year. Yeah. But honestly, I would say once a year usually. It's like we only have Big Bear to go up to. That's like an hour or so away, and right. Whenever they get a good amount of snow, it's okay. But it's nothing like, you know, once you really go to the nice places like Mammoth or go. You know, I've been in Spokane, you know, where it actually snows and you have some good mountains. So.
Some real snow.
More of the time, we've been doing a little bit of golf and stuff like that. So
yeah, how's the golf game?
Golf game's okay. I shoot like in the about 90s, low 90s. We've tried to play maybe.
Yeah. Now I'm a huge moto fan, and I see you do a little moto, huh?
Yeah.
We got it. Yeah. Was that a 250 KX 250F?
Yeah, I got a 2009 KX, and. Yeah, it's been pretty dialed. Got the pro circuit exhaust and suspension done, and
damn.
Waiting on my my upgrade graphics. He's
pretty much
the guy that I get all my stuff from. So
yeah,
all the sticker wise. So I actually did a lot of wrenching on my bike a few months ago. So I'm kind of waiting on that.
When did you get into?
I was riding. I've been riding moto for probably. For maybe a little over 7 years now.
Oh, wow.
We were doing it pretty constant. You know, I'd probably go almost once a week for a while. But, I mean, the racing-wise, right now, it's picked up so much. We it's kind of taking a little bit of away from the riding, just trying to stay healthy.
Yeah.
But right now I'm just waiting to get some graphics and heading back out, starting up.
Yeah, I see you upgrade. They work with the Hart and Huntington team. And their Hart and Huntington team, their stuff is like top notch, man. The coolest stuff in the pits. They got like wrap coolers and everything by upgrade. So
yeah, I've got a sick job. Pretty much does it all, and he's setting up an online shop that's pretty much the same as the RC, but it's gonna be all Moto. So you can design your own wraps and stuff for everything Moto wise. So that should be pretty interesting on his part.
You got to post up those, those graphic kits when you get them slapped on there.
Yeah, as soon as I get those done, she'll have some good photos this way.
I bet you the guys from Associated get a little nervous when you're out there running motocross.
Yeah, the funny thing is my team manager goes with me, so.
Oh, man.
If I get hurt, I'll just blame it, like, he took me out.
Have you ever, do you compete in, like, big motor races, like regional qualifiers or anything like that, or just pretty much ride?
I've never really competed, but honestly, just do it more for fun wise.
Cool. That's awesome, man.
Just go out with a few guys and go out for a few hours.
Yeah.
Get some fitness.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I decided to, I kind of started late, 31. Why not start at 31?
Yeah.
I raced pit bikes for like 2 years, and that was the competition I was up against, they got like 15 years in the game and I got like 2 years. But even though it was getting waxed, it was a blast even on a pit bike.
Yeah, I definitely want to enter at least one of the races. I want to race one race. They have a lot of local races at the track. A race at the, we go to the Milestone, and, one of the main tracks that all the pro riders go to. So
yeah, that's...
They have a bunch of little series and stuff that goes through there, so... One of these days.
Yeah, cool. How did you bump into Porcel?
We were at the Supercross finals a few years back.
Out in Vegas, huh?
Yeah, and we were at the Hard Rock Hotel, which most of the riders stay at.
Right.
And we know one of the mechanics for Ryan Sipes. His name's Scotty.
Okay.
And we actually met him over there. We were partying with them and stuff, and all of a sudden, you see Tedesco walk through and Hansen, and then all of a sudden Purcell stops by, and I was a real huge Purcell fan back in the day, when he was riding.
Yeah.
I called him over, and he had a shot with me, and he stayed and kicked it for a little bit, got a photo of him, and so it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
He was a real nice dude, and yeah, he pretty much hung out with us until we got kicked out of the hotel.
Damn, that's rad. Yeah, he gets a bad rap, but evidently he's pretty chill.
Yeah, he was. All those guys are kind of the same way. A lot of people say I'm like hard to talk to, but until you actually get up to them and say a couple things to them, we're all nice. It's hard to. You always get people that say other things, and you start believing them. So.
Yeah, until you sit down and rap with him for a little bit, it's a different story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Sipes had a big win 2 weeks in Seattle.
Yeah.
He won. Yeah.
He did. He finally was due. He had a hard season, too.
And Shorty. That was awesome to see Shorty
win. It was a race that you could never have predict that one.
Yeah. A lot of those fantasy motocross leagues took a poop on that week.
Yeah. Yeah, luckily, it's the end of the season.
Yeah. So. Looking forward to some outdoors.
So that's for sure.
Sounds like Stewart's going to be racing outdoors on a Suzuki.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of news. I do a lot of research, and I really enjoy watching him. I've always kind of been a fan of him. So
yeah.
Hopefully, honestly, he just by watching his bike, it doesn't gel with him at all. It's like he just has the wrong car underneath him almost. It's just like, it's just bad that, you can watch, I watch a lot of racing and stuff. You can just watch the way that his body is on the bike. It just isn't right. So
yeah,
it's just not comfortable driving, riding it. So,
and at this point it could, with the season, it could be mental at this point too. So
I mean, I think, honestly, you watch him ever since he's gone on the newest generation of Yamaha, and he just hasn't done well. And I think, right. honestly, he thought that the JGR would have supplied him with a little bit better stuff. Like, they had that shock and stuff, and I think he was seeing, like, other guys are performing pretty well. But his level is so much higher than Millsaps and Brayton, where he rides the bike so much harder than them.
Exactly.
It looks like he can't take it. Can't take yep. the you know, the abuse that he's trying to give it. So, and that's what keeps, you know, keeps getting into mistakes and falling. So,
yeah.
Hopefully it is the bike, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to see him.
Quick if he does jump on something else and he goes faster. So,
I hope so. I hope he races outdoors.
Yeah, I hope so too. We need another guy in there to make it exciting.
Yeah, I think he might capitalize on that. That might be, you know, another big selling point for him to race outdoors.
Yeah.
2 years ago when he raced Unadilla. I was actually at that race. And it was, I mean, I'm sure preparation-wise he wasn't nearly ready for that. But,
yeah,
man, it was a mob scene around that trailer. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's the biggest thing. There's so many people that follow him, even that hate him. So it's like, I mean, you can't go wrong with the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have a guy that I pay too much money, but he attracts a lot of, you know, people around us, the sponsors see that, than having a guy that's kind of hurting, you know, like,
a
that
bargain.
Doesn't really attract. You know, it's like, yeah, it's a tough deal.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Cool to see you're a big moto fan like me. I can't get enough of it.
Yes, yeah. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Close to, like, what we do, so.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, no doubt. Let's see. Last thing I wanted to ask you was at the Deegan compound, like 2010 for X Games, huh? Warm up.
Yes.
How cool was that?
That was actually a lot of fun. Our buddy, he's one of the moto team managers for Etnies. His name's Matt Chapman. And he does a little bit of short course racing for Associated and stuff just for fun. And he invited us down there and, we didn't really know exactly what we were getting ourselves into. He kind of, like, said, come down, and we brought our eight scales, and we were doing some jumps off their ramps, just shooting some video for Associated and stuff. And we were hitting, like, 100-foot ramps and stuff, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, my God.
They busted out the rally cars, and that was pretty rad. I mean, the sound and stuff, and...
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. And at the end of it, Josh Grant, when he still was on JGR, was down there running on the Supercross track. So we got to see pretty much everything from freestyle to motocross to rally. I mean, it was pretty rad. That headquarters is pretty legit.
Damn. Yeah, that's a
nice life right there.
No doubt. Yeah, well, Josh Grant, I remember when he raced that when Supercross was still in the X Games. I noticed.
Yeah.
He must be a pretty short dude, because I noticed he uses he uses the starting blocks. I noticed after he got out of the gate, there are the starting blocks, you know, sitting on the gate in his gate. I was pretty surprised by that.
I think he's like just made barely under 5'9".
Wow, he's 3 inches taller than me. Jeez. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, man, you got a lot of cool stuff. That's a once in a lifetime opportunity there.
Yeah, it's nice knowing some people, that's for sure.
No doubt. Now, how did your eight scale cars do off the 100-foot gas?
They actually handled pretty well. I was really surprised. They have a pretty good setup where I was able to have a really long run at the jump, and then once we got to the jump, and, you know, it's a metal ramp, you just grip up, and they had a really smooth landing. And I mean, the first time I jumped it, I came up a little bit short. It was okay. The car was still running, and then ended up clearing it pretty easy the next shot. So,
wow.
Yeah, the cars can fly pretty good.
When you're out, you know, practicing or testing or whatever, do you see, because I know a handful of moto guys race RC. Do you ever see them at the tracks?
I mean, a few of the guys have been down at the track. I've been, you know, with Weimer and stuff. We've gone out to, like, where they go and run. And Kyle Cunningham is another guy that's he was out the Nitro Challenge with us a year back, running under the Associated 10 and stuff. So,
damn, sweet.
And then Ryan Sipes, he does a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. And it's really about it that I've been in touch with. And then actually Shorty, back in the day, we are me and Joe Pillars got to head out to the Honda test track just because one of our friends was his practice bike mechanic. And Joe actually set him up with a car and stuff, and he drove it a little bit in Texas and stuff like that. But
no doubt. That's cool. Awesome. Let's see. Got any questions? I got some, you know, the stock Radio Impound questions ready to go, unless you got some more stuff.
Well, I got some reader. Reader emails.
listener submissions.
Listener, yes, that's it.
Go ahead, fire them off.
Let's see, Ryan. I got one from Kevin from Massachusetts.
Okay.
And he wants to know, when you need something, like a car kit, or whatever, do you just call somebody up and it shows up at your doorstep, or do they just drop a big shipment off?
as he would. Pretty much my ordering wise, like I just go online and, you know, I pretty much take my stuff's pretty organized. And, so I can see what I get low of, and I'll just go on and, just kind of put a big list, go on rc10.com and, just go through there and pretty much put in my order through email,
put in your credit card number.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have to put my credit card number in there. They'd be really rich. So pretty much every once in a while, I rob them for a little bit. So, yeah, it's pretty smooth. I send my order to my team manager. He sends it in, and it's pretty much the easiest way is I'm only a half an hour away. He just calls me up. And,
cool.
I'll usually go down, go grab lunch with them, talk some stuff, and then pick it up and then come back home and get to putting it away, starting over.
I remember when Cavalier used to call me at Trinity. He used to have some big orders there. Cavalier,
oh, yeah.
Your dad would actually call me mostly.
Lou.
You always need a ton of stuff back in the day. Now it's like half the order. You need like one battery pack. And before it's like, I need 10 battery packs and then 10 more. So you'd have like 2 cases of batteries just for no reason.
And 200 battery bars.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how things have come.
It a lot better now?
It makes
obviously.
It so much easier. Yes. It's so much easier to keep track of everything, you know, just like flying to an event.
Ugh.
You know, I pretty much take the same battery in my cars, and I'll take like maybe a spare battery for you know, a spare stick pack and then a spare saddle pack for my cars.
Wow.
So you could definitely fly a lot lighter weight.
Definitely changed. Times have changed.
Oh, yeah. Motors, you need like one backup motor. It's like, it's really nice.
Need to get back in this.
Yeah, Kirby's looking to get back into it.
Yeah.
So we've been doing research.
The brushless LiPo system is cheating.
Yeah.
I just keep my comm lathe at home, I guess. Huh?
more power than you can ever imagine.
Well, for instance, when you went to the Worlds, I had a question similar to what you just answered. But when you went to Finland,
okay,
like how many battery packs do you carry? I mean, you don't need to, you know.
Yeah.
Jason from Florida asked that.
For like the World Championships, we went to the warm up. So pretty much whatever I ran at the warm up, I ran that battery pack, and then once I get to the Worlds, Orion or whatever manufacturer you usually run for will have, you know, the batteries kind of there, like, you know, just because they're most recent batteries and they know how they're working. So we'll grab all new batteries usually at the race and like motor wise. So we usually don't really bring a whole lot of stuff of our stuff to the race, and then we'll take back, you know, stuff more of the case. So
I remember the day of looking at batteries, and you had to find the best numbers possible to make, you know, it's all thrown out the window.
Yeah, it pretty much, you know, it's like you don't ever have to worry about anything. Like you honestly have more power than you know what to do with. So it's more like detuning the speed control and stuff like that, in playing with the slipper. And yeah, you don't really have to worry about any power loss or anything.
More time for chassis tuning.
Yeah, it's I mean, a lot more time to practice and stuff when you're at an event that you can do it. So
more time to, you know, play games on your phones, whatnot.
Yeah. You have more time to do whatever you feel like you want to do.
Well, I got a question from Dave in Kansas. And he asked, like, when you go to a track, what's the first thing that you do? You obviously go and look at the track design and stuff. I mean, what do you take from all that when you first show up at the track? What do you do?
Yeah, when I first show up to a track that I've really never been to, I usually go up on a driver's stand and try to find, like, the spot I want to stand in. And usually look at the track for a few minutes just to make sure everything's good, and then usually head back down to the track and kind of just walk and take a lap of the track and just make sure it looks good and kind of go on the track and then kind of look up where you're standing and just memorize where you're going to be standing for pretty much the rest of the weekend. And I usually try to keep that one spot and stay with it the whole entire time.
So how are you deciding, oh, I'm going to run this shock oil, I'm going to do this springs, you know, I'm going to...
I usually go with a pretty much base setup. And we would usually either, if it's hotter, go up a half a weight, front and rear. Or if it's colder, you almost can leave it, run it for the first time, and then maybe change to a half weight less. But More of the time, if it's hotter, we'll just change automatically. But if it's like the same temp, almost that we run indoors to outdoors, or vice versa, if we're indoor, but it's colder, we usually leave it the same. Only if it's hot, we go, we change that, and then we'll just start off with the run and kind of seem to head in whatever direction you feel like you need to go. But most of the time, the setup's pretty close of where we go.
So those base setups in the instruction manuals are a pretty good start.
Yeah, I mean, my base setup isn't exactly what's going to be coming into a kit, right. But most of the time you can go on to rc10.com and they're going to have one of our setups online and pretty much exactly what we've been racing with. The only lack of that is it might not be the most recent one, but they're still so close. So the majority of the time, if we have, that's the best thing, if you're at the race with us, we can give you information and stuff like that. It's the only hard part when I have people on my Facebook, they want to see what we're running exactly. It's like, it's so hard, you know, so hard to tell them every time because, you know, we change little things here and there to be, you know, precise. So we're trying to work on it a little bit better and trying to get our setups faster to the web after every race, pretty much. So the best thing is just to go on rc10.com and check out what we have. That's what I always try to tell people.
That's what Ryan's doing in the pits. He's logging on to rc10.
I mean, if I go somewhere and I forget something, I go onto onto the site. I mean, they have whatever we've been running. So
that's cool.
Ryan, when you show up at a track to go back to the, will you walk a track? Just like, you know, moto guys will walk a track. Will you walk a track as well?
Yeah, we go up to the driver's stand, you pick a spot, go out on the track, take a lap, you know, just eye the sections and see how the angles and stuff look on the track and then go from there.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually you do that and then you're marshaling, you know, every time. So it's like, you can always go and look at the track here and there. You know, I mean, there's sometimes I go and I honestly don't even walk the track. I just go up to the driver's stand, pick my spot and drive. And, you know, it'll take me probably half of the event to go look at this exact section, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's only when I feel really, really comfortable driving. And then, you know, eventually I'll go walk the track, whatever, before like the main event and stuff like that. But I end up usually walking the track at least every time. Try to do it before the event starts.
Right. And you have your dad on, your dad's there watching too. And does he offer any suggestions?
Yeah. I mean, he's always watching and stuff. He always tries to suggest stuff, but it's hard because he's not feeling like what I'm feeling. Yeah. And, you know, he can give you some suggestions and stuff. You know, you always take them in, and then, I mean, I feel like if I need to do them, I do them. If I don't, I kind of go, okay, I'm just going to drive it. I'll try to improve a little here and there. So without changing the setup.
Did your dad ever change anything on you? And then you went out there and you're like, what happened?
You know, back in the day, he did probably a lot more of that. Where like now, I kind of see a lot more than I used to. Even before, I really didn't care. I'd just go drive it. But most of the time, we talk it over, and we think if we feel like it's something we should do, we do it. If we don't, we just go, okay, we'll do one more qualifier, and then we'll try it.
Hey, along the lines of tuning, has anybody, you or you know any other big name drivers, have you messed with the MIP, the bypass one valving, the new valving they got?
You know, I actually was just on their site because they're starting back up again with, sponsoring us as well, and, you know, getting more involved in the racing stuff. So I just went on their site, saw the pistons and stuff. We actually have a guy in Europe, Gia, and he makes us like tapered pistons and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing that we've ever really have tried to date. We haven't tried the bypass or anything like that.
Yeah.
We're kind of old school. We kind of keep it simple.
Right on. Yeah, just looking at it, I mean, it, you know, on paper, it looks like a brilliant idea, but I didn't know if, you know, anybody has ever, you know, tested them, had success with it yet.
Yeah, I just actually saw those the other day. So, I mean, it's something you can't say that won't work because you haven't tried it. So, I mean, I'm sure it's something down the line that you'll probably end up trying it once or twice, see if it works.
Man, we got a ton of setup questions.
RC10.com, people, you heard it.
Yeah, yep. That's, we got everybody, you know, what should I run on my track? It's dry. You know, I got a lot of those questions.
I get the same amount.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, you go to the track with a base setup that's going to be close like 95% of the time and then just, you know, fine-tune adjustments, tire changes here and there.
So. Yeah, like the biggest changes I do to, something that I most like to run all the time is like the droop, tire compounds, and ride heights, you know, and throwing the oil. It's just those little steps. You stay consistent. You change a few things here and there until you can start getting used to like what they do. Like they can change something. It'll take me 3 laps. Those 3 laps might not be that great, but after 3 laps, you're dialed in and you're like, oh, wait, he got used to driving it. So, you know, you could tell real fast when you change something. You don't have to keep going lap after lap. You can easily see how it feels in a few laps. So, I mean, it's just like try stuff. That's what I always try to tell people.
Yeah.
I mean, I might not know exactly what it does, but, you know, when I do it, I feel like that's what it should do and it kind of seems to do it for me. I mean, everyone maybe a little bit different, so.
And you're very approachable at the races, right? I mean, kids can walk right up to you and you'll help them out.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a whole lot better the last probably few years of being able to come up and, you know, say whatever you really feel like saying. So I feel like I'm pretty much easygoing to come out to me. Yeah. I can have a great conversation about whatever you want to talk about. So that's been probably the biggest thing that I've changed, you know, since I've started, really, it's just being more approachable. Before, I was so worried about winning and trying to, you know, be the best, where it's like you kind of like you don't care who's really around you. You just want to win. And now it's, I really feel like I can do that with, you know, taking the time out and talking to people as well. So, you know, I mean, you grow up, you see things a little bit differently. So I feel like I'm pretty easygoing, and hopefully a lot of people realize that in the last few years that they can come up to me. It seems like I know a lot more people these days. So
yeah, I think that's one of the things, like, people always have a preconceived notion that, oh, the pro driver, he probably doesn't want to talk to Joe RC racer or whatnot, but it's, you know, you don't know until you talk. You know?
I travel a lot to different areas. You know, I go to Wisconsin, I go to Michigan, you know, just like local like series races, and you know, we have a blast with everybody. So it's just you know, people that haven't really met me yet might say a difference, but until you do, I always have people always tell me about, you know, you're such a great guy, you do this well, and you know, they have a different aspect of what you really were, you know, what they hear. So it makes me feel better that I actually help someone nowadays.
That's what you guys are there for now, too. I mean, you know, yeah. As soon as you help somebody out.
Keeps the hobby going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And they could be associated for life.
Exactly.
Too, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. You never know. Like, we had the RCX show last week in Long Beach, and, man, I had a ton of kids coming up to me and signing a bunch of posters and stuff like that. So, had a lot of older guys have old, you know, old school conversations and stuff. So, and I've been around a long time, so I kind of have the new and the old, you know, so.
And that's how Gotti was with Joel Magic Johnson, you know, back in the day. Gotti was a young buck and, you know, approached Joel and, you know, he was nice to him. So from there till now, you know, he was, you know, Joel, whatever Joel runs is, you know, Gotti's fan number one.
Fan number one, bought Trinity all the way up until I started working there. And
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. I was so scared to go up to him, you know, because it's intimidating. But I mean, then, you know, he was really cool to me and that was it, man. I was just.
And you're like, gee, what was I so nervous about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, just like in June coming up when I see Ryan there, I'll be nervous.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, are you going to let me take your car around for a lap?
Maybe.
At the Nats?
Maybe.
After the Nats, maybe?
Maybe after the Nats.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe you'll let Kirby do it.
You can take my Truggy.
There.
Oh man, I would love that because I love Truggy, man. I'm thinking about getting into that.
You got a hot lap with it
right before the main event, you know. God, I can do
there
a couple hot laps.
No. No, you don't want me doing that.
DNS Ryan Cavallari.
Shoot.
Due to Gotti Jr. breaking his car in half.
I would just
turn it straight home.
It was a radio glitch, I swear.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to take your car around for a lap at the end of the Nats. That'd be cool.
Yeah. As long as you can drive Goofy.
You're going to have to go thumb throttle, Delgado.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Goofy, there. Mm. See, Cavalier's already blowing it up. Goofy driver.
And Kirby, you need to tape it, though, too.
It started, no doubt. We'll record that.
Record it.
For sure. Yeah. Any other... listener submissions, Gotti?
I got a lot of setup questions.
You know what? We covered that with just rc10.com.
Yeah.
Browse the net. You're going to find setup sheets.
Yep. If they want to message me on Facebook, they're more than welcome. I have a lot of people that ask me little questions here and there. I mean, don't get too detailed, but as long as it's short and simple, I can answer it.
That's going to blow up now.
If you're lucky, you know, he has spots open to friend you, so... act fast.
Yeah.
Anything else besides setup questions, Gotti?
Everybody wants the setup questions from the champ.
Well, who doesn't? You know.
Yeah.
But that's gonna be cool it's gonna be cool to meet you out there at the Nationals.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I'm actually Ryan. I took film at the warm up race. You know, I blabbered about it before we went on the air with you, but. I took a GoPro, put it on the end of like a 2 foot boom and, you know, on the outside of the track, you know, inside where everybody's marshaling stuff, pretty cool perspective on races. I'm going to be uploading a video here tomorrow. So I'll post it on your Facebook. Let me know what you think.
Okay.
Plus you'll be able to scope out the Nationals track and, you just be able to look at it and know exactly how to set it up.
What we need to do.
We got some dirt samples for you, too. We'll send them out.
Send those over to Proline.
No,
there you go. Yep.
All right. We got our stock Radio Impound questions for you here. We'll rattle them off.
Some goofy questions.
Yeah. Coke, Pepsi, or Mountain Dew?
Neither. I drink Diet Coke.
Oh. Yeah.
Coke Zero?
No, Diet Coke.
Oh.
I really have cut out a lot of. I don't really drink a whole lot of Coke anymore.
Yeah,
been trying to do a little bit of losing weight wise.
Yeah,
what do you want to do that for?
Yeah, women.
how about energy drinks? You got a favorite?
Rockstar.
Yeah. I saw.
There you go, Kirby. Rockstar.
Yeah, I saw, and you know, I was stalker booking it up, and I saw Cav had you know. Two fresh cases of a new Rockstar flavor.
Yeah, I somehow I got hooked up with a guy. We were at Anaheim 1 this year,
man.
And he sent me. I had a buddy that said this guy wants to meet you, and I didn't know what he did, and supposedly he worked for Rockstar, and he pretty much put me on the mailing list. And I get Rockstar to see if they delivered. Man. It's like, I don't know when they show up. They, you know, once a month, I get a few cases out of the blue, and I'm like, oh, wow, new flavor. So,
man, that is the hookup. I am envious.
You get some bad stuff, but most of the time, like the Rockstar Lemonade, and then they have this new...
The iced tea?
They have a few different flavors now. It's pretty good. So,
yeah.
Coconut. Yeah. They have some coconut flavor that's okay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So. You know, I forgot to do this before the podcast. I was going to offer you guys drinks to kind of loosen it. You want a Rockstar right now, Ryan? I got one here for you.
Snap me that one.
There you go.
Crack it up and get fired up.
There you go. How's that one?
That's delicious.
Yeah. That's the new iced tea peach flavor. Mm.
There you go.
What do you think?
Delightful.
There you go.
Yeah, even though
I don't have one for you, Kurt.
That's all right. Even though Ryan's used to drinking champagne pop bottles. Oh,
yes.
Some away.
There's some champagne for you. You're used to that. There's some for you too, Kirby.
Drinking it or wearing it, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. What's your daily driver? What kind of car are you whipping out?
I drive a Lexus ISF right now, and I've always owned a truck, so I own a Nissan Titan truck.
All right.
That I've had since I started driving. I pretty much bought my car, you know, after I won a few races. I said I really want this car and
baller status.
Sent away. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy it. So it's something I'm like always gonna have.
Yeah.
So I take pretty good care of my cars. Like I have a 2004 Titan that's, you know, still looks really good. So. Still moving good. That's my daily driver to the track, pretty much. So,
yeah, I saw in that red RC that video, A Day in the Life of Ryan Cavallari.
That was awesome.
Lou takes care of the Civic too, huh? Wasn't that a Civic?
Yeah, my dad is pretty. I think it's been going since '99.
Yeah.
Snap!
99 SI.
The Cavallaris take good care of their stuff.
Cool. Hey, was there a WRX parked out front?
That was my roommate.
Man, sick.
Man, I guess with that Lexus, I guess that answers one of the questions we got without putting a number to it. How much do you make a year of racing?
Oh, jeez.
Enough.
That was a big question. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Enough to
that
get
video
by.
Was really cool.
Yeah, it came out really good.
Yeah,
you know, it's
that was
like
neat.
We were doing that in, you know, I'm always like nervous when we're flying overseas, you know, making sure you got everything and you don't want to forget anything, you know? So it's like, I wasn't even really thinking what's going on. And we started doing it. And I'm like, oh gosh, like I thought I was late to the airport. I really wasn't late. Like I was just like freaking out. It was funny.
Yeah. In the morning you looked a little rushed.
We were running a little bit late. And I kind of lost track of the time because I was, like, thrashing, getting my stuff. Like, you know, I'm pretty organized. All my stuff was ready to go. I just make it worse than it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
I feel you there.
I just don't want OCD kicks in. Yeah, you're like, do I have my passport? Yes, I have my passport. Okay.
I know. I went down the list 8 times, but let me go 9 times.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did you take when you travel to a big event, do you have anything in your carry-on? Like I remember I traveled with nowadays probably a transmitter and airport security would not be a good thing because, you know, trigger not. But do you carry like a radio and
I carry my radio on now. We used to have like hard cases and stuff, and I carry it with just like a regular radio bag, kind of like the Trinity one they used to make for Kenroll and Francis.
Okay.
And then I have a Oakley bag that has like lighters in it, and I can put 3 of my electric cars in it, and then usually I'll be able to put maybe 2 8 scales. Won't be able to fit a truggy in it. That usually will just go in underneath the plane with our suitcase. So
right,
the cars and stuff, that, you know, they always look at them and stuff, but they never really they never really say no. You know, I've had it happen, you know, where they've taken my radio before, because they thought like it was a gun and stuff, and that was only in England. So every time I fly through there now, we just dismantle the radio, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So it was only when it was put together they confiscated it and then had to call electronics pretty much when I got back, and pretty much they said okay and got a new radio out. So it was the same way. I flew with Dustin Evans. He has a Spectrum radio, and they pretty much took our cougars, and that was it.
Dustin, a future guest of the show.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, he's coming on.
Ryan, what kind of music you got in your iPod?
I listen mostly hip hop stuff.
Right on. Cool.
Always kind of been always a, I don't know why. I used to listen to like a little bit of rock and stuff, but I kind of always had like a bad, I don't know. I never really was into that much music, but somehow I'm into a lot of hip hop.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You know, my parents don't listen to any of the music I do. It's kind of weird, but I guess that's just my era. I mean, I don't know, the school I went to was, I mean, a lot of the kids listen to the hip-hop music, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's the majority of the stuff I would listen to.
iPhone, Droid, or BlackBerry? What do you got? Bag phone?
I have an iPhone. I just I had the Samsung Galaxy Droid, and I literally couldn't stand the battery life
because
I was an iPhone user and I was due for an upgrade. So I'm like, all right, I'll try it. Had it for like 2 weeks. Battery died overnight. I turned it in the next day and got the new iPhone, and like the Siri is pretty awesome with it. So I've been pretty stoked on the iPhone. You can't really go wrong with it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Next question.
And I like it because I just download all my music to the iTunes. And, I mean, I'm super into the music stuff, so.
Yeah, just easy.
Makes it easy.
Yeah. Yep.
Download Radio Impound Podcast.
There you go.
The Droid was way too difficult to set everything up and make like my iTunes the same and stuff. It was a hassle.
Here's a random one. What's the last movie you've seen?
I just saw in theaters American Pie. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then I just saw a movie the other night with Tom Hanks, and it was called Extremely Loud, Incredible Close, or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. How was that?
It was actually interesting. Like, there was a lot of talking throughout the entire movie, and it's like you always had to stay on pace with what this kid was talking about and stuff, and it was interesting.
Huh.
I mean, it was kind of sad and stuff, but it was really interesting stuff to follow it. So yeah. It was just a lot different movie. I'm more into the comedy stuff. So, bye, Joe.
Yeah.
PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 or neither.
Xbox 360.
Yeah. Mm.
Man, we're losing on all fronts.
Cabby's got all the right answers.
Yeah, buddy.
Do you go online and play a lot or not?
Oh yeah, I do a little bit. Honestly, I haven't been online probably in like almost 5 months. I haven't been on to play. I watch my movies and stuff off of my Xbox, but I haven't actually played a video game.
Well, that's cool. I was just wondering if you had the PlayStation 3 at all, because that's what I have. But
yeah,
Kirby has Xbox.
I started
so you can
with
game
the PlayStation,
it.
And then the Xbox. It was time to upgrade, and everybody around me had the Xbox and stuff like that, so I got it. It's been really good. I haven't had a problem with it, so.
Got it. Any more wacky questions you got or what?
How about this one, Ryan? If your boat ran out of oil in the middle of the lake, would you run that baby back to shore or just kind of paddle it back somehow?
I'd probably sit back and hopefully there's some beer in the ice chest.
Yeah. I like that answer.
Oh, you know what? Segue into this one. Todd Newsom, what's your favorite brew, type of beer?
I drink a lot of Coors Light and stuff, you know, around the house, you know, for parties wise. But, you know, we go out like a Blue Moon, Hefeweizen, you know.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't really have a favorite.
Yeah.
I'm into trying different stuff, honestly.
Sample everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and nothing really too dark, pretty much. I'm more of a lighter
Yeah, no Guinness, right?
Yeah, the Guinness is too thick for me. It's like a mole.
Anything else, guys?
I think we said, I'm not going to go through all these setup questions, but they can contact Ryan on his Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be more than happy to help you out.
For
as long
sure.
as it's not too technical. Keep it short.
I mean, keep it short and stuff like that, or, you know, if it's something crazy, I usually just tell him to go and check out the website and stuff. And I mean, I'm pretty into helping people, so I'm trying to get it where our setups are online a little bit quicker, you know, after a race event. So I always tell people to stay tuned and see what's going to be posted. So
yeah,
keep it short and keep it associated.
Yeah,
if they want some RC accessories, they can email me.
There you go. Yeah, I think people might be under the impression that, you know, the top guys have like crazy wacky setups that are off the wall that they can't obtain, but it's not the case.
Yeah, I mean our stuff is pretty much 100% what you can buy off the shelf. I mean, there's some times where we do have some prototype stuff, but I mean, eventually it's out to the public. So
yeah.
It's the one good thing about RC cars is you can usually get what the pros have. Can't really do that in many other sports, so.
Right off the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part
numbers. I need part numbers. On that Day in the Life video, you mentioned that you would like to get a two-wheel drive title.
Yes.
And you said something along the line like, before, you know, I still have a few years left in me. One of my favorite questions is, do you feel that at a certain age that it may drop off a little?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends really on, you know, if there's going to be anybody else really coming up in competing, you know, on our level. Right now, you know, there's been a few guys that have added on, like Ty Tespin and Dustin Evans, uh-huh. that have, you know, kind of broke the cycle up a little bit. And, I mean, it helps and stuff like that. But, you know, we're all kind of similar ages. You know, Ty's a little bit younger than us. But, you know, I feel like you eventually will lose a little bit of your edge. But, you know, you it's something I think you do. But, I mean, maybe not. I mean, you still see a lot of the older guys and still throwing it in the show like the Vitas. You know, he's still putting in an amen. And he's just turned 40 years old. So, you know, I think we still have a lot more racing in us. But, you know, it's always fun to do it at our age. You know, once we get to his age, you know, we'll have a bit more of a family and kids and stuff like that. So, you know, it gets a little bit more tougher, and that slows you down as well. So
I think just keeping a desire, the desire and stay hungry. That's probably the hardest part, is staying hungry.
Yeah, I mean, that helps me a lot. I pretty much every year I set a goal and try to accomplish that every year. And, you know, start off the year really well. That feeds me throughout the entire year. You have a kind of a rocky start, kind of you have a little bit of up and down, and then you kind of turn it around by the end. But I like to start off the year really well, which I usually do every year, and kind of keeps you going. And pretty much when I do have an event, I take the week off, like I said, and kind of regroup and head back out the next week and, you know, Take it on again. Stay fresh.
Yeah, keeping it fresh. And you know what?
We don't want to overcook it.
Yeah, we interviewed Matt Francis, and that was a surprising part of the interview, that he said he just got burnt out, and it wasn't, you know, like he was literally like changing, making his setups really weird just to keep it, you know, to keep him kind of interested in it. He just ended up getting burnt out. Yeah.
Well, that's what, you know, honestly, it's, you know, changing your stuff so much, it honestly burns me out. You know, I'd rather have it where, you know, you're doing the same gig every race and you have you start gaining confidence in your setup, mm-hmm. and you know what your stuff's going to do. And that makes it easier, I feel, for myself. It's, I go out there and I don't have to spend, you know, the week testing. I just go out there and drive my car and have fun. Come back mm-hmm. and, you know, get it ready for a race weekend. But I've stayed pretty good over the years. I've been doing it for a long time, and I feel that I've never really been burnt out. I've had, you know, good friends throughout the entire racing career and stuff like that. So I think that helps a lot of having a lot of people that you can actually have fun with at the races. And I really enjoy, you know, my teammates and stuff like that. And we get along really well. And a lot of the teams see that, that we have a good, good attitude, and we share a lot of information with one another, and makes it nice to go to a race.
I remember back in, it had to be in 98 in Car Action, Kinwald was interviewed, and he mentioned one of the drivers to watch was Ryan Cavallari.
Wow.
Had to be 1998, somewhere right in there.
Huh.
And he said one of the drivers you got to watch for coming up is Ryan Cavallari. And I remember seeing that name, Ryan Cavallari. Next thing I know, I'm talking to Ryan on the phone and stuff. <That's> I'm like, yeah, this is the guy that Kinwald mentioned about. So
yeah,
it how right Kinwald was. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of racing, a lot of club racing with that guy, and had a lot of fun years. So,
got anything else for Ryan Kirby? Or should we let Ryan go?
We better let Ryan go. So, you know, so he'll be our friend.
So Ryan, again, I'll take you up on that offer in June at the Nats, taking your car around for one lap at the end.
All right.
And, look forward to meeting you out there, and Kirby will take a video.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, look forward to seeing you in June.
Yep. We can't wait to drive your car. It's going to be awesome.
But we'll be in the pits. We're gonna be there. Radio Impound's gonna be there. We're gonna be doing interviews and stuff there. So we'll hit you up with another interview.
Are you scheduled to chat with us for a little, Ryan? And good luck at the Manufacturers Cup here in a little bit. And we'll see you at the Nationals.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Started losing them hair towards the end, but that was good.
You know, you're gonna deal with these technical difficulties this computer age. You know.
I don't know if that bum's across the street tapping on my...
Yeah. You know what?
The cable line there or what?
You're going to have to get a crossbow or something. Man, that was an awesome interview.
That was good.
I could go all day with motocross talk with him.
But, yeah, that was like the Laker talk there. I just let you guys roll with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was you know, our version of you, you know, you and Babcock, Laker talking it. So, we had some moto talk, but... Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I mean, can't imagine that you wouldn't.
I tried to do the adjustments here on the audio, so I hope you guys, I hope it comes through okay for you guys. But
yeah, cross fingers.
Everything. Yeah, cross fingers, but I'll work it out and edit in a little. I'll be up all night like Kirby will be.
Sharon!
That's what I'll be doing all night. What?
Sharon!
We can never get enough of that.
So, man, that was our fifth guest, Ryan Cavallari.
Can't believe we're on show number 5.
Can't believe we just interviewed Ryan Cavallari.
Yeah, he was really cool. I mean, we talked to him beforehand, before the interview, and it was just a really cool dude.
Yeah, pretty chill, man. And, yeah, so if you ever have that notion of like, oh, man, pro guy, scared to talk, he's just, you know, he's down to earth. So just approach him and talk to him, man.
That's how I was with Kinwald, and that's how I was with you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
That wasn't too bad.
Then you start talking to the guys, yeah. And you actually find out they're pretty cool. Especially Kinwald used to get a bad rap, like, you know, hey, he's very quiet, unapproachable. But I met him back in 96.
Yeah.
Real cool dude. I mean, just talked to me about setups and whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are intimidated by him.
That's what it comes down to, intimidation factor. You might not think it, but just walk up and talk to him, man.
Yep. So thanks, Ryan. Thanks for that great interview.
Yeah, maybe we can get a Radio Impound podcast sticker on his car out there when he's not looking.
Oh, I wanted to ask him that.
You know, dude, we'll go out with it. We'll set it up.
We'll set it. I'll text him.
No, you talk to him and take his attention, and yeah, we'll just put decals on his car.
We'll see if he notices it. I think his dad will be on us. Watch those guys right there. That'd be cool seeing them rock one of those out.
That'd be cool to see anybody rocking them out.
Hey, our buddy Jason Streffler wasn't he?
So, got a couple, going to throw out a couple Facebook likes, shout-outs to, see, we got Crystal Watson from LCRC.
Yeah.
Keith Keller. Gunnar Reich. Jason Schreffler.
Jason. He's finally on Facebook now.
Oh,
he gets on Facebook, and he said instantly he got flooded with friends requests. So, And for those of you who don't know Jason Scheffler, he's a real good racer here on the East Coast. And I think he just races about everything.
If he doesn't currently, he has before. You know, he's raced everything.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. I mean, back in the day, he used to be at Trains and Lanes.
TNL.
Yeah, Trains and Lanes in Easton, PA. But he's a hell of a racer. His name is always in the A. You know, he's always in the A main somewhere. Jason's just a beast.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys in RC too.
That's one guy you could just walk right up to, start bullshitting, and he'll help you out as much as he can.
No doubt. And the last like, Ken Garner. Actually, he raced pit bikes when I was racing pit bikes, so that's how I actually know him from pit bike racing. And one of the races this past weekend, we're watching it from where they go on the straightaway, and his car launched between me and his girlfriend/fiance, not sure. Just about took out his own girl. So that was
wow.
shout out to you, Ken. I didn't miss it.
I got to give a shout out. Speaking of girlfriends, I got to give a shout out to my girlfriend Carrie Lowe for showing up on Saturday with us in that cold weather over there. All right, take me out of here.
Appreciate it, guys.
And we'll see you next week.
Keep listening. Download, download, download. Download
and download some more.
There you go. All right, people.
Out.
Catch you next week.